morning, Carborough and Chapel Hill. This is WILP's wake-up call. WILP being the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. We bring you the important issues of the day. And today, our guest is Al McShirley. He is the chair of the North Carolina State Conference NAACP Legal Redress Committee. That's a mouthful, but it is a very, very important job that he's doing. And Al, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to Carborough and Chapel Hill.
And do you want to start telling, just since that was such a mouthful, a little bit about the Legal Redress Committee, and then we'll go on to other things that you want to talk about?
The NAACP in the state has over 120 branches, about 22,000 members. It's the largest NAACP conference in the South. And Reverend Dr. William Barber is the president of it, as seen as one of the most important leaders emerging out of the new Southern Freedom Movement. He has organized the other presidents in Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, Florida, to form a Southern conference of civil rights leaders to begin to rebuild the Southern Freedom Movement that was shorted in the late 60s and early 70s by the reaction in the right wing that we're still facing in the White House today. I work with Reverend Barber, and we see our job as rebuilding a progressive movement led by the anti-racist and anti-war struggle.
So I think a lot of people don't realize how that struggle is still going on, and I'm glad you're here to tell us about it. I think that also there's an important event happening on tomorrow, Saturday, that is connected with that, the Pilgrimage for Truth and Justice. Yes. Do you want to tell our listeners about that so that they maybe can participate?
Well, Reverend Barber has asked approximately 12 branches, 12 out of our 100 branches, to take the leadership in organizing what we call a Pilgrimage for Truth and Justice, and voting also. We threw voting in at the last minute.
Good. I'm glad you did.
It started last night in Wilmington. Had 500 people came out to a large church in Wilmington, a church where Frederick Douglass spoke, and Reverend Barber was there honoring the martyrs of the November 10th, 1898 terrorist attack that murdered about 100 African-American men, destroyed the first fusion government, biracial government of black and white people that had taken control and running the largest city in North Carolina at the time, Wilmington, the best port city in North Carolina, a city that could have been the Atlanta of the South if it had not been for this racist terrorist attack on that government. At the same time, last night in Winston-Salem, Reverend Dr. Mazie Ferguson led a service in Winston-Salem in honor of the over 7,000 women, primarily black, who were sterilized, who had their right to bear children snatched from them by a eugenics movement called the Human Betterment League that was sponsored by Haynes Hosiery, Procter & Gamble money, and Reynolds money, of course, from Winston-Salem. Winston-Salem at the time after the war was the most powerful city in North Carolina with its cigarette money and textile money.
By the war, you mean after the Civil War?
No, after the Second World War. I'm sorry, I jumped 50 years on you there.
Okay.
What is so interesting is that when the Allies, the Soviets and the American GIs and British and French soldiers went and liberated the concentration camps at the end of the Second World War, and the whole world saw the genocidal and racist nature of the eugenics movement. Every other scientific program of eugenics, that was sterilization of so-called mentally deficient people, was shut down in the United States, except for one state. And you guessed it. I didn't have to tell you where it was. It was here in North Carolina, and it was in Winston-Salem, Forsyth County, and in Orange County. In Northern Orange, they had a program. Some of this fascist money went to a professor here at the university who believed in eugenics, and they gave these bogus IQ tests to young children who parents didn't know how to read and write. They didn't have a book within 100 miles of their house, and because they couldn't pass these IQ tests, they decided they should sterilize them so they wouldn't pass on their defective genes to their next generation.
Oh, this is so shocking what you're telling us. And, I try to keep abreast of civil rights issues and things, I'd heard about the sterilization program. I think it went on into the 70s.
Yeah, 1974 is when it finally shut down. And there were several lawsuits that finally brought it to an end. Representative Larry Womble from Forsyth County has been trying to get a bill passed in the General Assembly to reparations for women. There's probably 5,000 of these women are still alive. I've talked to several of them, and their lives have been just decimated. When many of them did not even know what had happened to them. They were 11, 12, 13 years old when they were sterilized.
There's so much of our history that we do not know, that the schools do not teach. But I think that the NAACP and you and many others are trying to get that history out to the general public and to our listeners. The whole thing with the Wilmington, I always heard it until recent years as the Wilmington race riot. Mm-hmm. And instead it was a terrorist overthrow of a legally elected government. So we're going to have on Saturday, we started talking about the pilgrimage. Right. And I understand that's an outgrowth of HK on J. Can you tell us what HK on J is and why it is and so important to all of us?
Well, let me just, last night we started the pilgrimage with the two simultaneous services, one in Winston and one in Wilmington. And then people are walking from those two cities, we call it the Wilmington leg and the Winston leg. They're walking from Winston to Greensboro today. They will join in with the beloved community and the Labor and Community Alliance in Greensboro, which is having a wonderful Black-Brown Unity Conference this afternoon and this evening. And our pilgrims from Winston and those that are joining in the pilgrimage from Greensboro will hold a service in Greensboro in honor of the five people that were murdered in November 1979 in Greensboro, another ugly chapter in North Carolina's racist history that has been covered up. And then they'll come on to Chapel Hill. And tomorrow we will hold a pilgrimage from Hargrave Center, which is at North Robertson and Rosemary Street. People are joining there at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning and walking to the post office at Franklin and Henderson Street, and we'll hold a news conference there at which our president and other local leaders will talk about the same thing I'm talking about on the radio. And then tomorrow evening at St. Paul's AME Zion Church at Franklin Street and Merritt Mill Street, right as you go into Carrboro, one of the oldest African-American churches in the South, we will hold a service in honor of the martyrs of Wilmington, Winston, and Greensboro. and we will talk some about some of the problems we're facing here in Chapel Hill that the NAACP is working on. And we invite all of our listeners to both of those events. We think it's going to be the beginning of a larger fusion movement here in Chapel Hill.
So our listeners, you know, please pay attention to this. Everyone is invited, and it's so important if you can come. So it will start in the morning, Saturday, at 10 o'clock at the Hargrave Center, and move on to the post office. And then in the evening, they're calling it a spiritual renewal service, and it will be at St. Paul's AME Zion Church. And I hope many of our listeners will take this opportunity to learn more about all the history that Al is telling us about, and will make a very big effort to attend to these events. So Al, want to tell about what HKNJ is, which I mentioned earlier. I think a lot of people do not know what that means.
Okay. Three years ago this month, Dr. Barber won the election against a gentleman from Greensboro, Skip Austin, who had been the president of the state NAACP. And Reverend Barber immediately set out on a road to rebuild the fusion movement that had been destroyed by the racist reaction to the beginnings of a black-white unity and black-white political movement in Wilmington. And he reached out to, now we have over 85 organizations, environmental organizations, anti-war organizations, women's organizations, churches, North Carolina Council of Churches. The largest black organizations in the state have over a million members. The Masons, the Black Masons. Now we can't. The Masons just integrated a week ago in North Carolina.
Oh my goodness!
So that's 22,000 members, all of whom have pledged their allegiance to Dr. Barber's vision of this new fusion movement that is built around, I call it the pole in the circus tent, in the middle of the tent, anti-racism, struggle is the key of building any kind of multiracial alliance. And a lot of people have not quite grasped that yet. And we need to get back to the movement that Dr. King had put together in the 60s, which was based on these two fundamental principles that the ruling people in this country have made their money and gained and held their power by through the two institutions, one of slavery and Jim Crow and racism, of getting super profits out of the backs of people of color here, and at the same time have gone into the most impoverished sections of the world in both colonial and neo-colonialist interventions, and taken over the economic systems of those countries and bled them dry. So these two aspects of the present American economic system are the ones that we believe have to be targeted.
So the HKNJ, the H stands for historic, the K stands for thousands, and the J stands for Jones Street, which is where the legislature is. So HKNJ is historic thousands on Jones Street.
Right.
And this coming February will be the third annual rally about HKNJ in Raleigh. Again, our listeners are invited and implored to please come to this. So what Reverend Barber did is outline, as I understand it, 14 points, because his hope is to move this state, which you've outlined our racist past, and it's ongoing in many ways that many of us don't realize because it is more subtle, and move it into a more progressive, to become a more progressive state. And we're going to take a station break, and then after the station break, maybe you could tell us about some of the 14 points that I think will be important for our listeners to understand. This is Wilp's Wake Up Call. Every Friday morning from 7:30 to 8 o'clock, we are bringing you the important issues of the day, things that you do not hear on the major media, and that it's so important for us to understand so we have some idea of what's going on in the world. This is Lori Hoyt speaking for WILF, WILF being the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And our guest today is Al McShirley from the NAACP. He's the chair of the NAACP's Legal Redress Committee. And he's letting us know about an important movement to move this state into becoming a more progressive state. It used to pride itself on that. I know when I moved here in the 60s, it was considered one of the more progressive southern states. That may not have been exactly accurate, but that's what the image they were trying to project. But it has been falling behind on so many areas. And we're going to go and talk about Reverend Barber's attempt to move this state in a more progressive direction. And he has 14 agenda items that he's hoping to get legislative action on. Maybe you could tell us about them.
Let me go back on HK on J for just a second. There's a big joke within the NAACP because we originally wanted to call it 50,000 on Jones Street, which is actually a little easier to remember than HK on J. A lot of people trip over it. But people were afraid that we wouldn't get 50,000 people out the first year. I think we will get close to that this year. This is our 100th anniversary on February 12th, Lincoln's birthday.
The 100th anniversary of the NAACP.
It'd be Lincoln's 200th birthday. That's the way I always remember it.
So that's really, really an important milestone.
The NAACP was formed by a group of progressive white people, socialists, and very strong radicals in New York and in the Northeast, who combined with the Niagara Movement that Dr. Du Bois had formed, couldn't even meet in the United States. They had to meet in Canada
to form
the Niagara Movement in 1905, and they joined forces and formed the NAACP in February of 1909. And so, and throughout all of the early years, the first 60 years of the NAACP, it was very multiracial, a fusion movement modeled after some of the same ideas that the people in Wilmington had. Unfortunately, in the 70s and 80s, a myth was created by some people that the struggle against racism was a black problem. Like it would be as dumb. That's about as dumb as saying the struggle against sexism was a woman's problem. The NAACP was one of the few organizations that continued to see that racism as one of the fundamental problems in our society had to be attacked by all people of goodwill, black and white and brown. And we see that even more today. We're playing catch-up ball a little bit because some people in the struggle made errors on that issue. Reverend Barber, who was born in 1963, understood that in his heart and tried to immediately, when he was able to get the presidency of the state conference, was immediately able to start changing that. He is now on the national board and will be bringing some of his ideas directly and we'll begin to see that nationally over the next few months. So we call it the historic thousands on Jones Street, and there's a very conscious reason for that. We think Jones Street, where the legislature is belongs to us. It's the people's house.
Mm-hmm.
And we think people should go there and run it. And the people that we send there should be directly accountable to the people, not to the money changers. The money changers in North Carolina have totally taken over the house. You think it's bad in Washington, you ought to go over to Jones Street sometime and look around. You'll see all these guys in suits walking around telling the legislatures what to do. Now, there are some good people in the legislature, but they are going to respond to the people who hand them bills, and both bills that are green and bills that are written out to support their corporations and their banks. And they run the state. I kid you not. We've been over there for the past 3 years. We watch how it works. And we represent a million people, at the very least, the HK on J does. And we walk in there with our program, and a few of them will sit down and listen to us, but none of them will ever take the quilt, the whole 14 points, and say, this is what I want to stand on. So we want to push that. And one of our aims is to, of course, build local assemblies that will begin to hold legislatures and politicians more accountable in their local districts. We had a wonderful meeting last night about that. And we think Chapel Hill and Carrboro and this area has a lot of people who I think would agree with Reverend Barber if they would be able to hear him. He'll be in Chapel Hill today, incidentally, at 1 o'clock. He'll be speaking at Bill Thorpe's funeral at University Methodist.
Oh, I'm glad you mentioned
University
that.
Baptist Church. I'm sorry, right in downtown, right there at Columbia Street and Franklin Street, and we expect a large gathering there. Reverend Barber will be over in Durham on Sunday night, speaking at the pilgrimage in Durham at 7 o'clock at University. I mean, at the First Presbyterian Church, the largest white church in Durham, and we'll be marching on to Raleigh over to have our convention.
So last night was this area's beginning of the pilgrimage. We had an HK on J People's Assembly, building the civil rights movement for social change and legislative action in North Carolina. And Al, you spoke and gave the historic perspective. We had Michelle Cotton Laws talk about high quality education for all children. We had people talking about economic justice and workers' rights. The civil rights movement is still alive in the housekeepers' struggle for being treated with some respect and fairness in their jobs, and also the ongoing into the third month of a strike of the Moncure plywood workers. And mm-hmm. we had a representative tell about their struggle and the conditions that they're fighting for. And these are covering so many of the 14 points. We had somebody speak about health care for all, and then affordable housing. People need a house if they're going to be able to go to work and do anything, and that is becoming terrible situation in this county, and everybody knows it, but we're not doing enough about it. We had about the death penalty and about environmental justice, so it was a very powerful evening to get us ready for the Pilgrimage for Truth and Justice for tomorrow.
The thing that struck me last night, Laurie, was that if you see Reverend Barber's vision of that, all of these issues are really one movement. It's all one movement. The union movement and the, quote, civil rights movement are the same thing.
Exactly.
The anti-war movement and civil rights movement are the same thing. The environmental justice movement and the anti-racist movement are the same thing. And that we've got this vision of pulling together a quilt of all these issues now. And now the way it's set up is there's groups that meet on environmental justice over here and groups that meet on, quote, civil rights issues over here. The peace movement, as many of us know, has been primarily white as it's developed again on the Iraq War. And that's so ridiculous that those of us are old, like me, know that there's only one movement. We saw it, and we saw the power of that movement. We saw 250,000 people coming to Washington in 1963. We saw 1 million people coming to Washington toward the end of the 60s. From all kinds of movements, the gay rights movements, the women's movements, the anti-war movement, led by Dr. King. That's why he was so dangerous, and why he was murdered 1 year to the day of when he came out publicly and said there was no difference between the killing of Vietnamese people and killing people in the South, in Mississippi and Alabama.
That every life counts.
Absolutely no difference between that.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to build our own areas, and there's people that in this town that are experts on, say, on environmental justice or on the women's movement or on the gay and lesbian movement, and we need to draw from their intelligence and their understanding of those movements, but we need to work together. And those of us that have that vision need to spend at least half our time reaching out to the other people and getting out of our little cocoons or silos, they call them, and talking to other people and say, come on, join us. Join the NAACP. The NAACP has this vision. We're leading this struggle.
Well, Al, I think as a member, you well know that WILF has always had that vision of the connectedness of all these issues. And we're so glad to be in solidarity with the NAACP on this and are very excited about the hope that this movement is giving us. I just want to mention that we are underwritten by the Internationalist Books, which is on West Franklin Street, and we urge all our listeners to go there. This is not just, they have wonderful books that you don't get in other chain bookstores, but they also are a community resource to find out about all these things, such as what we're talking about today, that are happening in this community. Al, we only have a few minutes left, and I wonder if there's any last word or ways that you can tell the listeners how to get more involved with these important things.
Well, come to Hargraves Center. The used to be the Black Recreation Center. Now it's the Multiracial Recreation Center in downtown Chapel Hill, right behind Dip's Restaurant on Robertson Street at 10 o'clock. And then walk with us to the post office. And then take the afternoon off or do whatever you want and come back to St. Paul's tomorrow night at Merritt Mill and Franklin Street and get a little bit of this history and a little bit of spirit. There'll be the choir from Hillsboro, the Northern Orange branch, is working with us on both of these events, and they have a wonderful choir. There'll be good music. Maybritt Johnson from the Unitarian Church, Community Church, is going to be there tomorrow night. We'll have excellent speakers tomorrow night, and we welcome everybody there.
And you know, one thing I was thinking of in regards to that church, if our listeners go, where do you park? Because that church is right on that corner.
Well, I don't think there's any problem in parking in that area. You can park on Graham Street, Merritt
Mill. You can park
Street.
On some of the
yeah.
street.
Mm-hmm. If you've been to what's the pig restaurant called?
Crook's Corner.
It's right across from Crook's Corner.
Yeah.
And there'll be, you can find places to park around there.
And people can park at Hargraves. And there's also, right down the block, is a public parking lot on Rosemary Street that a lot of people don't know about. So there is parking.
Be careful going over there on Merritt Mill because there's a big hole over there now.
Uh-oh. Okay, well, we're wrapping up now, and Al, I'm so glad you were able to come today, because many of us were at the People's Assembly last night, getting ourselves revved up and ready for the pilgrimage and to get our minds attuned to all these issues, and I'm really looking forward to tomorrow, and I think many of our listeners hearing about this hopefully will join us.
Well, thank you, Laurie, and thank Wilf for doing this wonderful program. Thank the Internationalist Books.
Yeah.
Long time friends of ours.
Yes, they are. We're all working together. This is WCOM LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro, our community radio station that we are so thrilled to be a part of.